This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the K. Show, everybody. Hope you're having a great Monday. It's a great couple of days to be a Knick fan. They're over 500. And this is the first time they've been over 500, I believe, at this late in the season since 2013. This is a team, an organization, that has finished the season over 500 just three of the last 20 years. And there's reason for optimism. And the reason is you've got a top-flight coach, and you've got Julius Randle having an all-star season, people playing their role, and you have a guy like the rookie Emmanuel Quickley, who has burst upon the scene. He's become a fan favorite, and he has contributed mightily to what the Knicks are doing. And he is nice enough, as the Knicks have just landed in Texas, they'll play San Antonio tomorrow, to call in right now and join us on the show. Emmanuel, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. How exciting is this? Obviously, you come from a program where, you know, you're supposed to win. And you know at Kentucky, they're going to win games. You come to a pro team where they have not won in recent years. Is this surprising to you and your teammates that you're doing this well?
I think it's surprising to a lot of people, but not to us, though, as far as the people around this franchise. There's kind of like a culture change that everybody seems to talk about. It's just as far as like the work ethic of people, the character of people, how we treat each other. And we care about each other. So it's kind of like a culture change, a culture shift that a lot of people are talking about around the facility and things like that. So we kind of pride ourselves on that.
What were your expectations when you were drafted by the Knicks? What did you expect to see when you got here?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if we were going to be this good or if we were going to be, you know, one of the better teams in the league. You know, as a rookie, you don't really know what to expect. You're playing against the greatest players in the world every night. So really, my mindset was just to come in and just work hard, be a sponge, get better, and work hard each and every day. So that's been my mindset as long as I can remember since I got drafted, and that'll be my mindset as long as I can remember anything. So,
you know, and you know, during the time when there were no sports, everybody was glued to watching The Last Dance, Michael Jordan story. And the one thing that we noticed from him, Emmanuel, is that he used anything to motivate himself. So I'm wondering, you've played so well, but the fact that you dropped to the 25th pick in the first round, is that something that motivates you, that you think you should have been picked earlier, and you want to tell the teams that skipped on you that they made a mistake?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was, especially at the beginning when we were like in the training camp or right after the draft. You know, I wanted to go to the gym that night and work out and just get better. But now it's more, you know, focusing on the team. Our team is underrated, still doesn't get the respect I think we deserve. A lot of people saying it's because we're in the East, we're not that good, but we want to continue to just make sure that we're doing the things that we can take care of to get better, control what we can control. And just making sure we're doing the right things, you know, stay in that playoff race.
What's Coach like? Can you tell us a little bit about what Coach Thibodeau's doing, how he motivates you guys, what his general energy is like as a head coach?
I feel like Coach Tibbs is I don't feel like I could have had a better coach in my rookie year as far as someone who's just going to individually push me every day. Challenge me mentally as well as physically, but mostly mentally challenge me. And he treats the last guy on the bench just like he treats the first guy on the bench as far as what he expects, the effort that you have to give, consistency on a regular basis. So he holds everybody accountable, and that's all you can ask from a coach.
Do you use that as motivation, getting back to what you said before about the disrespect? Is that something that's in the room, palpable, that you try to use every night?
I try to use a lot of things, proving people that didn't believe in me, proving them wrong, and also I try to prove myself right. I made a list of goals and things that I wanted to do individually and as a team before training camp started. So, you know, just trying to prove the haters wrong, prove myself right, and just continue to get better. I think that's the biggest thing. It's a long season. There's a lot of ups and downs through a season, so you just want to kind of stay level-headed, you know, through the whole thing.
All right, so what did it mean to you, Emmanuel? What's wrong with Emmanuel quickly of the Knicks here on the Michael Kay Show to have Kenny Payne on the staff? You know, he was there with you in Kentucky, and now you've got that same guy with you on the Knicks bench. What has that meant to you?
That has meant absolutely everything. It's made my transition a lot smoother as far as, you know, I could have a bad game, and he's the first one laughing like, yeah, I love it when you're struggling because I know what it brings out you and all that type of stuff. It's honestly funny, our relationship. He's almost like a father, another father figure for me. It's great to have somebody there that's going to push me each and every day, will hold me accountable in the games, off the court, and will be in the gym with me at literally any time at night. So it's great to have somebody like that.
Sorry, Michael.
Please.
IQ, you talked about the sort of the way this team feels about each other, and the camaraderie and the closeness is clear. This isn't a regular season where you guys are in clubs and doing things like that. So is there anything you guys are able to do as a team to bond? Where does sort of the togetherness come from for this group?
One is this team hasn't won at a high level in a while. So we all realize that we have something special going on, and we all kind of want to continue to keep it going. We don't really have any egotistical people on this team. Everybody's kind of for one another and understands that with team success comes individual success. And then also I just feel like we all want to win. That's the bottom line. We just all want to win. So, like I said, team success is individual success. So that's basically where it all comes from.
Now, it's been a couple of games, Emmanuel, that they've allowed about 2,000 fans into the Garden. And people have told me that the first couple of games, what they've noticed is that so many fans have Quickly jerseys on. Have you noticed that? And if so, what does that mean to you?
I haven't noticed it particularly too much, but – honestly, what I can say is the fans have been unbelievably crazy. With it, even if it's only 2,000, for me, I haven't played as a Knick before, so it feels like the Garden is packed. And I'm sure people are probably like, "That's nothing compared to what it's going to be like." But with 2,000 fans, I get like the goosebumps and chills when everybody's chanting defense because it really feels like the Garden is packed. It's crazy.
I want to let you in on a little secret before we let you go. I don't know if you realize this. So the only other Knick that has been on this show this year has been Julius Randle. And after he got off the show, he went out and scored 43 points. So you're going to have a big game tomorrow.
Yeah.
This show, just it's a good luck charm. I'm telling you, he scored 43, and then the next day he made the All-Star team. We're the reason, Emmanuel. You watch tomorrow, it's just going to blow up for you. It's going to blow up, and then you're going to say, you know what? It's the K Show. That's what happened. And you're going to tell all your teammates, you got to go on the show to break out of a slump.
I got you.
So we're expecting a big game against San Antonio. Congratulations to you on your first year here, and congratulations to a Knick team. That is really exciting, the New York fan base. I mean, this fan base has been starving for a long time for a good Knick team, and this team is fun, it's energetic, and we wish you continued success, Emmanuel.
Appreciate it. God bless y'all.
All right, thanks so much.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a mature kid. I mean, what a nice kid. And he has played very, very well. And he's one of the outside shooters that they need. Obviously, they'd like him to be a little bit more consistent with the three-point shot, but he's one of the few three-point threats, he and Randall, on the team. And, I mean, what a steal at 25. And it wasn't like the Knicks had to grab him at 25 because somebody would have grabbed him. People expected him to drop into the second round. But Leon Rose has a great relationship with John Calipari. And if you remember, the day after the draft, we had Calipari on, and he said the Knicks got a steal at 25 with Quickly. And obviously, Kenny Payne was an assistant coach and helped recruit Quickly. He told them exactly what he was. Otherwise, this kid drops maybe to mid-second round, and maybe he doesn't get the chance. Maybe he doesn't get the love. Maybe he doesn't get the play. Right now, he looks like he's a keeper, and what a steal to get that at 25. Really, what a steal.
So, yeah. So obviously, you know, listen, he's a work in progress, 12 points a game. You talked about it, Michael. He's 38% from three, almost right at 40% from the field. But one thing you love on a team that is trying to scrap up any win they can get, 94% from the free throw line. A lot of upside for this kid, man, and he seems like a great kid with his head on his shoulders too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and he was great in the interview. Some he gets it. You know, he gets it, and well, what a refreshing voice, young voice for the Knicks. Really is.
It's really been tremendous so far with the reaction from the Garden, from both the Knicks and the Rangers, of how much energy they've gotten from so few fans in the building. And a guy like Quickly, can you just imagine what it would be like if that building was full? Like, if he can sense an energy from 2,000 people, what do you think he'd get from 20,000? Now, he's played in big games. He's played in packed houses before. But, God, that first game with a full building for these guys is just going to be amazing, especially for somebody who's never experienced before at this level.
Let's hope we see that. Let's hope we see that, you know, 2,000 becomes 5,000, 5,000 becomes 10,000. But, again, it all depends on, you know, where the numbers are. But right now, 2,000 people, it sounds loud. When you watch the game on TV, it sounds loud. Don, you did a Ranger game with people there. How did it sound? Did it sound loud?
Sunday was tough because it just was not a good game for the Rangers. There wasn't a lot to cheer about. They were down 3-0. They didn't score until late. But you did feel it at certain moments just to be able to actually hear a reaction, because you could put all the canned noise you want in, and maybe in football it kind of works, or basketball when you hit a shot. But, like, there's certain moments in hockey where there's, like, a big check where you can just hear, like, a spontaneous groan from the crowd that you don't get from something when it's all on tape, you know? But the Friday game, when the Rangers beat the Bruins 6-2 and there was a chant of, blank Bergeron, you heard it so clear. You actually heard it easier than if there had been, 18,000 people screaming it. So those people have come with energy. They're all fans. Like everybody's got jerseys on, because I think the real fans are the ones that really want to go. Nobody's schmoozing clients. Nobody's there to be seen. So the people that are at Madison Square Garden love their team and are cheering for their team, which makes it so cool. But there's an energy, Michael, that you wouldn't expect to get from so few people.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is. Even when you watch a net game from Barclays and there's 300 people, you can hear it. You can hear the noise, and people are really emptying, their lungs. And it's good. It's good, and it's only going to bode well. I said this on the Yankee game today. Everybody that we've spoken to, yesterday Boyd, today Hicks and Cole, the crowd means something. For years I've interviewed players, and they always would sell you this malarkey. I mean, we don't hear the crowd. They know now they hear the crowd. The crowd is a big part of them bringing their game up a level. It really is. So if you're a little flat, a crowd could bring you out of it. And even if you're high, they can bring you to another level. So I think every player now has a greater appreciation, if they didn't before, of what a fan base can do.
Yeah, because that bothers me as a fan, right, when you get downplayed. And I think the one thing that would come out of this pandemic from that standpoint is that maybe fans will be a little bit more appreciated by the players, by the teams, because they've been sorely missed. I think they've been missed even for the visual on the broadcasts, Michael.
Yep.
And I'm a fan. You know, when I watch a game and there's tarp there, or I watched the race this weekend. I mean, you had some fan. It's different. There's some element where even when – and maybe this did affect the ratings. Mike Greenberg disagrees on the show. I was listening to it the other day. He doesn't think it has anything to do with it. He says, I don't believe anybody watches a game because there's fans in the stands. But for some reason, I think your instinct is to feel like that there's – at some level, this game is not as important, that it lacks some meaning when the building is empty. And that's not true, but isn't it possible that it's so disconcerting that – you find yourself less interested because the building's empty? I think there's something to that.
I don't know if it's going to raise the rating, but it might make the actual visual experience more enjoyable. And maybe if the game gets out of hand, you might leave the game. because, you know, the crowd's not there to try to pump you back into it. But I just don't think people tune in for that. I would agree with Greenberg about that. But it makes the experience different, for sure. For sure it does. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Great people. Let's go to a Jason. Where is Jason? East what? East Northport. What's up, Jason?
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Before I get to my next point, I just wanted to first let you guys know, back in December, I got a cameo from Don, from my brother, for Christmas. And I just wanted to say it was spectacular.
Well, what made it good? I'm just interested in this, Jason. What made it good? What did Don bring to the party?
My buddies and I actually have a Nick podcast, which my brother told Don about. So Don did a couple of, you know, did a minute or two on the Knicks and just on that kind of thing. And so very supportive, you know, so it really played well. It was great.
Wow, so a Don cameo, Michael, it's almost like getting your own podcast.
It's getting your own Don show.
You get a Don show.
I mean, we all know how he likes to talk. So what you would get from a normal person with cameo, you know, you're getting about triple the amount with a Don cameo.
Beautiful.
Jason, did you hear, and we'll let you make your point about the Knicks, but did you hear in this phone call how you wanted to be positive about me? And Michael asks a question just to try to spin negative. And
no,
now at the end
no,
of the
I really want
well,
to know what
know
makes
much
it
Don
special. That wasn't it,
why
Don.
Why can't
you
just say,
wrong.
Well, of course you did. Got a great cameo from Don. Don's a great guy, and he's very talented. What's your call? No.
But I just wanted to know what makes it special. That's all. Because I'm thinking about going into the cameo arena, and I want to know what makes a cameo special.
Just be yourself.
Well, you've got a lot to live up to if you go in. I mean,
thank
if you want to be like Don.
Well, Don's very special. He's a very special young man. All right, Jason, what else you have?
My question is about the point guard situation, and you obviously just had quickly on. At the beginning of the year, we were tearing our hair out that Peyton kept starting over quickly. And then, you know, you bring Rose over, and now Peyton's missed the last three games. Rose is starting. You can see that they're firing on all cylinders. What happens when Peyton comes back? Do you think Thibodeau goes right back to Peyton, or do you think he tries to ride this out a little bit? And even Ntilikina's off the bench. He's getting minutes. He's been playing well. What do they do when Alfred Payton is back?
It's a great question. I think Thibodeau likes veterans. Also, Derrick Rose can't play that many minutes. So if he's starting, you're going to get him over the 25 minutes. You're going to have to manage him. And, you know, the analytics tell you that after 25 minutes, his production really drops. So I think that they will drop Ntilikina out of the rotation and put Alfred Payton back. Alfred Payton's a valuable member of what they do. So is he a must-have? Well, I mean, they'll decide. If they do make a deal, he could be included to make money work. But I think that when he's healthy enough, he'll go back in the lineup. I don't think Tibbs is in love with Ntilikina, although Ntilikina has played well. And remember, they were playing well when Alfred Payton was playing too. Let's go to Kevin in Brooklyn. Kevin.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all guys doing, man?
Kevin, haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, what's up, man? Everything all right?
Yeah, everything's all right now, man. My pops was murdered in November, 82 years old. A coward took his life.
So sorry.
So I've been on a little down.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry, Kev.
Yeah, thank you, guys. But you guys kept me up, my spirits up, man. I still listen to you guys and watch you guys. I have 2 points. One that I got to get with Michael, because Michael, you know I love you. But I'm getting to my Nick point first.
Okay.
Is that I think Thibodeau will get coach of the year if the Knicks make the playoffs, because I don't think this team is a different team that they had 3 years ago or 2 years ago, even though the three rookies that they have, well, not three rookies, but Barrett, Quickly, and the other guy. But I think that he's doing a great job. I think he's doing a good job. And Don and Peter was right earlier to the show when they said that a coach does make a big difference. I think coaching is like a psychiatrist. You got to convince these players that you're better than the other players, even though you're not. And if you believe it, you become a good player. So, I mean, you can overachieve. And that's what I think. But now
I hope he works some of that magic on Toppin, because Toppin so far has not really been the eighth pick at that level.
No.
Quickly's been better than him.
Yeah, he hasn't. That guy hasn't. But I think a bigger dude has a more difficult time to adapt to the playoffs than a point guard. Mm-hmm. But I want to say this about your guy, Michael, Boone. I don't have a problem with Boone. I like Boone. But when you made the comment years ago when they first hired him, you said they got rid of Girardi because of the reason of his relationship with the players, that he criticized or he disciplined Sanchez, right? Mm-hmm. What's the difference between what Sanchez has done since Girardi been gone? Because my opinion is that the Yankees haven't gotten any better than what Girardi was here. Girardi won a championship. Girardi mm-hmm. was one game of going back to the World Series, and the Yankees got rid of him for Boone. To me, I don't see any difference of what Boone has given the Yankees of what Girardi has already given. That's my question to you. What has the Yankees done with Boone to say that justifies them firing Girardi? Because I don't think it was justified, because the Yankees haven't gotten any better. I mean, they made the playoffs, but they made the playoffs with Girardi too. So what is the difference between the two?
There hasn't been a difference because they brought in Boone because they thought that they were going to win a championship. They did win 103 games the 1 year. They have made the playoffs. Girardi won a World Series in 2009, then didn't win a World Series afterward. And so I think, you know, 8 years later, they said, okay, enough is enough. And, you know, they were a little questioning on his communication skills with his players. And you bring up a good point, Kevin. You know, I think that his criticism in that game in Cleveland about Sanchez rubbed people the wrong way. But even the nicer, more positive approach that Boone has had hasn't done anything, because Gary hasn't had good years. So, yeah, I think Boone's done a good job. And at the time I said, I thought that I think that Girardi did a good job. I think it comes down to this. It was portrayed this way, that the communication skill wasn't there. And it seems like Aaron is better in the clubhouse than maybe Joe was. I'm not in the clubhouse, especially the last two years. But I will tell you this. I think that Girardi was starting to push back a little bit on the analytics. He did not want, he was not all in as much as Aaron is all in. So I think Girardi would occasionally say, no, I'm not doing that. And that's not what they want. That's not what they want, because I think Boone believes in all the numbers, and that's good. So he doesn't have to push back because he believes in them. It's not like he's doing them and doesn't believe in them.
No.
I'm not sure that Girardi believed in them as much as Boone does.
But ultimately, it's about winning a championship, right?
Yep.
So if you make the coaching change or the managerial change and it doesn't result in a championship, then, you know, even if all those things Boone has done, he checks all the boxes, at the end of the day, you can understand a fan saying, why do we make that move? We're in the exact same place we were before they fired Girardi.
Well, I mean, one thing that they do is, you know, Girardi was making $5 million here, and Boone makes about $850,000.
So, okay.
I mean, so you're doing the same things that you did with Girardi. Remember, Girardi didn't make the World Series in 8 years after winning the World Series, and that's always been the thing. Now, if Boone doesn't make the World Series this year, that's the longest that any manager has gone at the beginning of his Yankee career without making the World Series. So there's some pressure on him, and this is the last year of his contract as well, because they do pay you in World Series. But if they don't make the World Series, and it's for reasons other than Boone, then I said it before, if you're in lockstep with the front office and the analytics that you're they're handling you, or they're handing to you, and you're exercising that, and you still lose, is it really the manager's fault? It's almost like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Are you blaming the manager for the numbers that he's using that you gave him? It's a very, very difficult thing to figure out. I just don't know. I don't know the answer to it. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.